Welcome to Twi'lek Talk, a Star Wars podcast, with your hosts, Rob Solo, Darth Dylan, and Old Ben.
Welcome to Episode 7. It is October 8th, 2017. This is our Force Awakens, if you will. I'm here with Old Ben and Darth Dylan. I am Rob Solo. This is Twi'lek Talk. What up, guys?
I've got to change something up here. It's October, as right. In the planet that Luke is on.
Yes. So,
yeah. What's going on,
we
guys?
We missed Tano
Tuesday.
Tember. Tano Tember.
Tano Tember.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing now.
It's a thing for you.
I like it. Well, it's been quite a while since we've gotten together, but this...
Kind of a long hiatus, yeah.
Yeah, but this is going to be a good one. There's so much coming out of Star Wars right now. One particular thing I wanted to bring up first was the runtime for Last Jedi was released. The running time for The Last Jedi and all the other movies we're going to cover right here now, starting with, of course, A New Hope, as older generations may know it, just Star Wars.
Yes.
Yes.
Ran for 121 minutes. Mm. All right.
Fantastic.
That's a good length. The Empire Strikes Back, a lot of people's favorite, topped that and ran for 124 minutes.
Had to do that 3-minute jump.
And just when you thought the pissing contest was over, The Return of the Jedi ran for 131 minutes.
You think Lucas did that on purpose? Now that I'm thinking about it, just be like, everyone's going to be a little bit longer than the other one.
He didn't direct it, but he probably had a big say. I don't know. He's not the director. So it's hard to say. I think that has to do with the editor and director, right? Producer, editor, director.
They need to get all that footage of the Ewoks in there, you know?
Yeah. That ending
There's
scene.
A lot. There's a lot of footage.
That dance scene after the destruction of Death Star 2 had to last an extra couple of minutes. So, The Return of Jedi tops in the trilogy. Now, we're going to move on to the prequels. Darth Dylan, you have the times for the prequels.
Phantom Menace was actually the same. It had the same runtime as Return of the Jedi. But it seemed much longer, didn't it?
I totally did. So it ran for 131 minutes?
Yeah, it was the same.
Okay.
So then Attack of the Clones, I wrote it down in a different way. It's 2 hours and 22 minutes, which is just, it's a few minutes longer than Phantom Menace.
142 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Revenge of the Sith was 2 minutes less than that.
Yes.
So 2 hours and 20 minutes.
140 minutes.
Yep.
So Attack of the Clones holds the longest in the prequels.
As of right now.
It holds the longest of all of them, right? Mm. So far.
Well, that's yet to say. But all three of the prequels are longer than all three of the original trilogies.
Yep.
So, they got carried away. Rogue One, one of my favorites, was 133 minutes. Now, that matches up with The Phantom Menace, right? It's about that. And Return of the Jedi. So they're very similar.
Yeah, about 3 minutes less, give or take. And then The Force Awakens was 135 minutes.
Okay.
So, it's generally very... The times are close. A New Hope being the shortest. And actually, I've gone off to say A New Hope or Star Wars is my favorite out of all of them so far.
Oh, that's what you're going with?
I'm not going to say that yet because I'm still forward to The Last Jedi.
Is that your final answer? Because I thought you said else in another episode of our podcast.
Or another podcast, huh?
What did you say your favorite?
He did
Wasn't
say.
Wasn't it The Phantom Menace?
No.
Me?
No. No. I do remember he did say A New Hope.
Okay.
Yeah, New Hope and Revenge of the Sith, actually.
All right.
Yeah, and then Return of the Jedi.
Gotta give some Empire love, baby. Come on.
Empire
love.
You know what? I love The Empire Strikes Back as a film. as my favorite Star Wars
film. You like it as a friend. We get it, don't we?
Yeah, as a friend. No, as your best friend. I think Empire Strikes Back is cinematically the best, and it has the best script, the best story, the best everything. But for memories' sake, I guess I'm going to have to go with A New Hope.
All right, nostalgic-wise, I get that.
I follow you on that one. You know what's weird, too, is Last Jedi will actually be the longest movie Rian Johnson has ever directed.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I did a little research on that.
I did not know that.
Most of his movies are in that, you know, that wheelhouse of, you know, 2 hours or so.
So yeah, this one's Looper a little bit was only a minute long.
Okay, so The Last Jedi is coming in at how long, Old Ben?
150
minutes. 150
minutes.
It's a lot. It's a lot of minutes.
That's crazy.
Well, it's funny, too, because a lot of people might get worried about that, you know, saying, like, longer movie equals boring movie, but pacing's going to be very important, and I think that from everything we've heard as far as reports from many sources, they say that this is going to be more of a character-driven piece. It's going to be the story is about Rey and Luke and that mentorship and that passing of the torch from the older generation to the newer generation, and like I said, I have faith in Rian Johnson. I think he's going to do a really good job with this.
With that kind of runtime, we better find out who all the parents are.
Oh, yeah. You know? And, you know, there's probably going to be a bunch of moments of silence, you know? If the ending scene of Force Awakens set the tone a little bit for The Last Jedi,
yeah,
you know the beginning's going to be Luke's going to take a little bit of time to open up to Rey.
I predict a slow start to this film.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of hanging out in Ahch-To.
Might be awkward, even.
Well, you're going to be learning a lot about what Luke's been up to, and that exposition is going to take a while. It's not going to be explained in, you know, 2 10-minute scenes or whatever. It's going to take a while for, you know, to get a, you know, which, sorry.
You got to meet the Porgs.
Cut that part out. Yes, the Porgs. To get backstory and what he's been up to.
What has he been doing?
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
Where's his head at?
Yeah. Are they getting into these ancient Jedi scripts that you see in the teaser/trailer?
Will there be a Jedi that has passed on, perhaps involved in this whole process of explaining?
Maybe we'll see a Force ghost or two.
Maybe.
Is he gonna take that lightsaber from Rey?
He's got his own.
Are we going to see that tomorrow night? I'm sorry. Let's jump ahead.
Yeah, no.
I got really excited about the green lightsaber. We'll get to that. All right, so Last Jedi is running at 150 minutes, 10 minutes longer than Revenge of the Sith. On top of that, it's going to break the World Guinness record for the longest Star Wars movie ever. Did they actually document that in the Guinness World Record books?
I think you did.
If they don't, they fucking should.
There you go.
And also the Guinness record for the best box office, but that's another future topic.
They probably do that, right?
And probably the Guinness record for crashing Fandango and AMC.
Yeah. That's another topic.
We'll also get to that in a little bit, folks.
Yeah. So, okay, that's our runtime for The Last Jedi. Now, is this all speculation or is this actually confirmed?
I don't know if it's completely
confirmed. I thought it was confirmed.
If it's on AMC, more than likely.
Oh, what, the runtime?
Yeah.
I think it was confirmed.
Okay, I thought it was too.
Yeah, they did that. They did that with Force Awakens like a couple of months before.
All right. We're getting a good.
So we're getting another 15 minutes than The Force Awakens.
Yes. I think it's going to be good. I have such a strong feeling about this.
After tomorrow, the hype train, if you will, the hype will start.
Yeah.
You know, because I think they've been very, I guess shallow is a good word for the marketing campaign they've been doing. And I think it's going to really lift off tomorrow. Everyone's during halftime and the tickets going on sale.
If that's true.
Yeah.
And
actually StarWars.com announced everything. It's going on sale tomorrow.
It is actually confirmed.
Yep.
Wow.
But they didn't say what time though.
We didn't say what time.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll get into that. All right. So let's get really quick into a theory. I'm going to give credit to Owen, the guy that we work with. He's a big Star Wars fan.
Wait, is that the Owen you're referring to?
Yeah.
Not Owen Lars.
I'm talking about O-Dog. Data.
Okay.
O-Dog.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He's a Owen's webmaster a genius. He's like, I don't know, like a Matrix type guy. But he's a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah,
and he comes to me with this theory of, I don't know, he blew my mind on the spot. So did Darth Plagueis create Snoke while trying to create Anakin? Which is a really interesting little question in itself. Or did the Force push back, creating them both? No, I was like, Owen, that's good. Let me think about that.
Let's do some research.
Yeah, and I brought it up to Ben in aisle one when he was stocking dairy. And I said, Ben.
That's the aisle one. Yeah, I dropped some eggs.
No, yeah. And I was like, he almost dropped the shit he was holding. I said, Ben, what do you think about this theory Owen brought up about Darth Plagueis creating Snoke? Because, you know, Darth Plagueis was the scientist of the Force. And he's canon. Hopefully his backstory is canon as well. And he tampered in with, you know,
arcane forces.
Exactly. He played a little deeper into the Force than the average Sith.
Than the average man.
And it could have been either one of two things, and this is an ongoing debate among Star Wars fans for many years, whether or not Anakin was created by Darth Plagueis, which I think Sidious kind of hints to in the opera scene of...
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
And obviously... Like, you know, Shmi Skywalker said, there was no father, so...
I mean, Palpatine turns, and he says, create, and he turns and looks at Anakin, life. Now, we all know that Plagueis played it within the you know, creation and manipulation of midichlorians, right? So, yep. Owen struck my interest with this question, as in, like, maybe Darth Plagueis created Snoke... And Snoke says, I've witnessed the rise and fall of the Empire and the Republic and all that. So he's been around, which would put him in that time period, if you think about it, right?
He's old and fragile looking.
And he's not human.
You can see he's looking over everything.
Yeah.
And he's not human, so you don't know like how old he would be. How old his race... Well, we don't know his race yet, but it's humanoid, but we don't know... How old? I mean, so what would that put him at? He would probably be...
Gold member.
he could qualify for, the $5.95 dinner.
For Mike Myers, yeah.
It was all in gold.
I like gold.
So it's in the James Luceno Plagueis book, which I've read most of, it's written that midichlorians could push back. And that's the ongoing question among Star Wars fans is... Mm. Did the Force push back and create Anakin? All right, let's put Snoke on the back burner for a second. Did the Force push back, create Anakin to bring balance to the Force, if we agree that Anakin was Vader / Anakin was the one to bring balance to the Force, or did Plagueis actually create Anakin? And we know from the novel, which is Legends, not canon, although Plagueis is canon, we don't know his backstory, we know that he laid eyes on Anakin at some point when he was a young child, and knew that he, in some way, he believed that he had a hand in creating him.
It's funny, again, going off of, you know, the theory that Owen has, which is really good, I think, here's another counter theory to this theory.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Plagueis created Snoke because... He feared, because of course the prophecy was Anakin was going to, you know, destroy the Sith and create balance in the Force.
Yeah.
So maybe Plagueis created Snoke for that counterbalance. You know what I mean? There can't be good without evil. And maybe that's what happened. Maybe this was Plagueis Strikes Back. You know what I mean?
Well, against what do you think
Force.
Of
that's a good little theory, old Ben.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think of Anakin? There's actually I read a theory, and Anakin. Some say he failed to bring balance to the Force, and then Rey was created in turn.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's all from a certain point of view. Where,
whoa, okay, now we're jumping ahead.
Now I'm thinking, like, okay, I would look at Anakin as someone who brought balance to the Force. Where, you know, I'm not going by time length of how long it lasted, but I'm saying he's the one that destroyed Sidious.
Yeah.
Right. Luke would have died right then and there.
Right, right.
And I'm thinking, I'm more on board the theory that it was the Force pushing back to Plagueis's tamperings and trying to manipulate midichlorians. I would say that's something that the Force, I experience the Force as a conscious thing, and that it's aware, very aware. And I'm thinking, if Plagueis played with it, it pushed back. I like that theory. I'm not saying that's... Obviously, nobody like knows too, the truth, you know? Yeah. So, Sidious killed Plagueis, believing someone had to die due to the Sith's rule of two. And maybe Sidious believed that it was Plagueis who created Anakin. And maybe it just wasn't the case. It was actually the Force pushing back. On a side note, could Snoke had been either or the Force pushing back? Maybe there's a deeper side to Snoke, which sparks my interest.
Because they say he's not a Sith, though.
Yeah, he's not a Sith. Maybe he is a balance that we haven't actually seen yet,
but leans towards the dark side. That's why they're saying, you know, again,
look, this movie's gonna change the game.
Yeah, I think it will too, Darth.
I think we really don't know what's going to happen or what
I think
we're
it's a
going
great,
to be
yeah.
faced with.
Yeah, I think after this movie, we're going to have a lot of really good debates as far as how the philosophical underlings of the Force, and like, because one of the things I was actually thinking of the other night is just the whole idea of balance of the Force, and this is where we're heading as far as Luke. Just seeing that the dogmatic ways of the Jedi was just not working, and what happened was they became too overconfident, and then the Sith took over, and then all that stuff happened, and the kind of quote unquote balance came back to the Force. Balance was in the galaxy here's what something I actually thought of the other day. Maybe Anakin brought balance to the Force, but Luke, because he was the conduit, is the living embodiment of the Force.
Yeah.
And what happened? Yeah. And then
when you think of the Force, you think of Luke.
But then, sometime between Jedi and Force Awakens, he did something where things were shifted the other way, and then Kylo was tempted, and he turned on him, and that's why everything's all messed up now. I don't know. Just something I thought of the other day.
So Kylo created the imbalance, is what you're saying?
Or Luke did. Because Luke, thought maybe, hey, you know what? I'm going to start my own Jedi Academy, and I'm doing this, and maybe didn't exactly learn from... again, I don't know. This is the great thing about debating about it and talking about it, and the fact that the movie's coming out soon, we're all going to have probably 180-degree, change in opinion by the time it comes out, so that's going to be awesome.
I see your perspective, old Ben, being an Obi-Wan fan. And Obi-Wan believed that Luke was the chosen one, but I would say Luke played more of a huge part in the outcome, and I would say I would still stick with I'm staying with Anakin was the chosen one.
Oh yeah.
But my question is, maybe Snoke is the chosen one and Anakin was created by Darth Plagueis and the Force pushed back, creating Snoke. Owen credit.
Boom.
Yeah. A lot to think about.
Inexpensive.
It is
mic
a lot
drop.
To think about, because we don't know anything about Snoke as of yet.
And they said that we're not going to learn too much about him in this movie either. From
they
what
said
I've heard.
That.
Yeah. Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting until 2020 or whatever.
You mentioned Obi-Wan before. Before I forget, I a little off topic, but the other night I had an in-depth dream of an Obi-Wan standalone film.
Oh, really?
Like, what it was going to look like. And it was very, like, desert-oriented.
All right.
And I think Qui-Gon Jinn was in it as his guide.
He should be.
Yeah, like, he acted as a guide kind of, like, in flashbacks and, I'm not sure if it was, like, a Force ghost, but he was definitely there. But it was Ewan McGregor, but he looked the part, you know? It was just such a cool dream I had. I thought I'd mention that. But
I'm really looking forward to that
one. Yeah, you should write that.
Yeah, maybe it's a foreshadowing. Book.
Darth Dylan, you should write that in your dream book. It could become a perhaps fan story of
you
sorts.
Had a force dream.
Yeah, maybe it happens. I think I did. So, yeah, anything you guys want to add to this theory?
Actually, the Obi-Wan thing's a good sort of prelude to the next topic.
Okay.
Because we're talking about, from a certain point of view, the new novel that was released last week. I have not had a chance to purchase it yet because of insufficient funds, but just a quick
background. We all know that.
Yeah.
That feel.
I know that game.
But this this novel is 40. It's comprised of 40 short stories that take place during A New Hope.
Yeah.
Which I think is amazing because that's, again, one of my favorite times in the whole Star Wars history and galaxy.
Zero BBY.
It goes over Boba. It goes over Lando.
It goes over major characters like the Obi-Wans, like, you know, Lando, Palpatine, Qui-Gon. But there's also like a story about Beru. There's a story about Biggs. There's a story about R5-D4, the droid that lost his job to R2. I mean, seriously.
That sounds crazy.
And I was able to leaf through it very quickly, and it, you know, just reading a little bit of it, it looks incredible. So once I have some money, I will be picking that up.
Me too.
Yeah. Me being in college right now, I've been reading, you know, like 100 pages in a day or two. So I'm definitely in a reading mode.
Yeah.
Do it.
It just got dropped October 3rd, so it's only been out a couple days. We got to get this.
We got to do a review of it.
We got to do a review of this book.
Sounds awesome to me.
40 stories, short stories.
I can do that.
43 different authors is what I
mean. 40 is just a number.
Right, it totally is. One interesting story that I heard about is how, get this guys, Yoda used Qui-Gon Jinn's Jedi robe as a blankie.
In Return of the Jedi.
And that's when we see him wrapped up.
That's
when he's dying.
And that's canon.
That's canon.
And comfy.
And comfy. Canon and comfy.
Borgullet's actually Luke's uncle.
Borgullet's not.
Oh my
God. Is there a Borgullet story, old Ben?
There is no such thing.
There should be.
There should be.
Just for Darth Dylan.
Well, hey,
If you buy one of those spy kits with like the erasing ink, it comes up.
There was a Jawa story apparently there, not a Jedi Jawa. There should be, because I'll write that one. But
but dear magnum opus. Yes.
Another interesting story I heard. I haven't gotten the book, so I'm not taking credit for actually reading it yet. But another interesting story was that. Now this is really good. Whether or not Yoda felt Obi-Wan's death at the hands of Darth Vader.
I'm sure. Mm.
Wow. That is a story in the book. Wouldn't you guys want to know about that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's a question that really never came to my mind until I saw someone.
You're always curious about that stuff because, if they're so connected to everything.
Especially Yoda.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that there would be. I'm pretty sure, but
he must have felt like a disturbance in the Force, you know,
a little tingle.
But then again, the planet he was on too was definitely, you know, engulfed in the dark side. So I'm assuming
he was on Dagobah. Keep in mind, which is a very Force strong planet.
It's a very dark
side. He might have felt that strike down from Darth in an even stronger sense than we can imagine.
Or maybe they are, you know, I always had this theory though, they both, Obi-Wan and Yoda, kind of had a feeling when they were going to go. In a very cryptic kind of way, like, you know, once things set in motion where Obi-Wan saved Luke and then they realized, I had this theory that, you know.
You know what? That makes sense, old Ben. Because Yoda knew Order 66 was coming. He may have knew Obi-Wan's death was coming. Maybe he was ready for it. That's a really good.
Yeah.
Wow, you got me going upstairs. Woo!
What about downstairs?
Whoa, okay. Hey now.
All right, I think it's time for a break.
That's a good stuff. All right, so. Well, anything you guys want to mention about the novel?
Someone buy it for me.
On a side note,
yeah, I want to check it out.
I did want to mention real quick before the break. On a side note, They are dropping a Thrawn novel that they just released at New York Comic Con this weekend.
That's right, baby.
Titled Thrawn Alliances, which is a sequel to the Thrawn book that was released shortly. Written by Timothy Zahn, which we all love. Covers Thrawn's rise in the Imperial military. I think it's probably going to be awesome. And I hear he's going to have, get this, interactions with Darth Vader.
Very good.
How cool would it be to see those two?
And how quickly do you think that he's going to deduce that he used to be Anakin, just knowing?
It, within moments. He's brilliant.
I noticed his handshake was much like that Jedi I knew long ago.
Yeah, right?
He's gonna there was something know. About the grip.
Now, did Thrawn ever meet Anakin?
Yes, they did say that. That at some point, Anakin and Obi-Wan, or Anakin and Ahsoka, were on a mission in the Outer Rim. And they did. Yeah,
I heard about this.
Yep.
All right. That's going to be interesting. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back after these messages.
Yes.
Not able to bullseye Womp Rats like you used to? Are you falling into your own emotional Sarlacc pit? Maybe you need to add some Bantha milk into your diet. More protein than root leaf stew, and much healthier than death sticks. Bantha milk will give you the energy you need to outrun those Tusken Raiders. Bantha milk. Liquid. Blue. Yummy. Really yummy.
Really fucking yummy. Welcome back to episode 7 of Twi'lek Talk. It is October 8th. Rumor has it, October 9th is going to be the new trailer for The Last Jedi, and ticket sales shortly after, or at the moment. The trailer's rumored to premiere tomorrow night during the Monday Night Football game between the Vikings and the Bears. Some say halftime, some say just tune in. What do you guys think? What do you guys think?
I think it's a ploy to watch football.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
How many nerds are now going to watch football? It's the same thing 2 years ago with, The Force Awakens. But, think about it. Disney owns, is it on ABC?
The football game? NFL, that was Fox.
Is it on Fox?
I don't know. Fox is Monday Night Football, right, Dark Dome?
Tell we really watch football here, guys.
I haven't watched football game in years, but I will be watching tomorrow night.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it's a great move by Disney and, promoting the way that they do. And I think it's probably going to end up happening right after the trailer airs. And it's funny, before we went on the air, we were actually discussing our strategy to get tickets, because rumor has it, here's another rumor has it, that there's going to be a special 6 p.m. Early showing on the 14th. It technically gets released on the 15th.
That Wednesday?
Thursday.
Oh, okay. So they're definitely going to do a 6 o'clock showing.
It's usually 7 o'clock. I mean, this is 7 o'clock. I mean, here on the East Coast, that's usually what they do for us.
7 o'clock Eastern time.
But that extra hour makes a difference. Yeah, that's like dinner time.
And I believe as always, the UK, Europe, they actually see it a day before us.
What? Those bloody bastards.
what would you say to that?
Those bloody bastards. Oh, you bastard. You've gone and done it again, have ya?
You bastard.
That's Red Card Rob's British alter ego.
Everyone says I suck at British accents, but I think I'm pretty good.
You're right.
No, what's the plan, Twi'lek Talk? We got to see the opening night Thursday.
We have to be there.
There's talks that there's a showing with Force Awakens and Last Jedi.
I'm not watching that again in the theater.
You don't want to?
I will if I have to.
All right. And then there's one, it shows all the movies before it, which is kind of, if you want to take off work, it's a fun day.
Whoa, are you saying they're going to be re-showing the movies in the theater?
Yeah, the original trilogy.
All of them?
The prequels and Force Awakens.
This is not on the Thursday that we're discussing. The 14th.
Yeah, I think it starts probably very early.
Well, I'll be damned. If that's the truth, I'm off that day. I can make it happen.
Yeah, you're right. Day.
Thursday's my day off. If that's a legitimate truth, Darth Dylan, I'm on board.
They released it on the official Star Wars website.
They're going to show every movie?
Uh-huh.
Even Rogue One?
I think so. It said, or you know what? Maybe not Rogue One.
Just trilogies?
Yeah.
You know, I love Rogue One. All right. We got a plan?
We have a plan. I don't know if I want to tell people. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Old Ben's in charge. He's the wise one.
No, basically, yeah, I'm going to get on the internet.
Sell a lot of death sticks.
Hopefully, yes. My weight in death sticks. Hopefully, we do not have an issue where it's crashing, and along with Fandango and everything, and AMC. But, yeah, we'll have to see.
Because that has happened before.
Yeah, it's weird, because they always say, like, oh, well, this time we're better prepared, just kind of like how we are here in New Jersey with you know, storms and stuff. Oh, we're definitely prepared, or, you know.
They probably didn't change a goddamn thing. They're just like, all right, it's going to happen again.
Well, just let it happen, you know? Yeah. That's life. But
people are going to get their tickets.
But as a side note, I went tonight to see Blade Runner. And I actually went up to the front desk and asked them, so I know you guys, if you have information on this, you probably wouldn't tell anybody, but what is going on with the Star Wars tickets for tomorrow? And the two girls looked at me and said, honestly, we actually got an email, and they had a printout, and she showed it to me really quickly that they have not released any information yet. They said they don't have information that they're ready to release yet about when the tickets are going on sale. So,
man, this is tedious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
I like it, though. It's fun.
Yeah, it is.
It's competition.
They wouldn't even tell you, old Ben?
I tried my Jedi mind trick.
Yeah.
I tried my wily charm. Obviously, that didn't work.
It didn't work? Yeah. Damn
it. And then I went for the Jedi mind trick, and they were like, all right, get out. Creep.
Well, I'll be. All right, so we're on board. We're going to try to get opening night. Twi'lek Talk is going to try to see it on Thursday night.
And if anybody that is listening works in a movie theater and would love to hook us up with some, you know, early...
You're right, Darth Dylan. There is no try. There's either do or not.
Or do not.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to see this Thursday night.
Yes.
All right.
Us there.
Yes.
In his dream.
You know what?
Let's make it a reality.
Right in the front row.
What the hell?
No, not in the very... What? No.
Why don't we do a Twi'lek Talk review of the movie?
That's what I was thinking. We're going to do a review like right after.
So we'll have to have our the Broccoli Rob's studios set up. And
we'll do a review of The Last Jedi. Sounds awesome. So stay tuned tomorrow night, October 9th, for the trailer and announcement for ticket sales. We're all very excited over here at Twi'lek Talk Studios.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Yes.
Twi'lek Talk LLC.
That's right, baby.
Copyright. Forces of Destiny. Released October 1st. They just released 4 new episodes. The wonderful Star Wars series focusing on female characters in the Star Wars universe. Spanning all time periods. The 4 new episodes have been titled Newest Recruit. Tracker Trouble. Teach You I Will. The Starfighter Stunt. Alright. Have you guys seen these episodes?
I have.
I watched 3 of them, actually.
I almost feel like they got better at this.
They're doing a good job.
I almost feel like I like these 4 episodes. I always liked The Forces of Destiny, don't get me wrong. But I feel like I like these 4 episodes in particular more, did that make sense, than the ones that came out previous.
They're getting better. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
And like I said, these episodes aren't, it's nothing to be mind-blowing, like, oh my god, I can't believe there's this reveal. But they're nice little gap fills that, I don't know if that sounds right, and just giving, you know, shining more light on these characters of like, oh, there's another side of this person. Like, for instance, the Padme one, the starfighter stunt with Ahsoka.
Yeah, with Ahsoka.
I mean, you know, who knew that, you know, that Ahsoka was teaching Padme how to fly a starfighter. I mean,
it breathes new light into it.
Yeah. My girl gets another episode.
She got 2 in this one.
Yeah, we see, I see they've kind of fixed the animation on Anakin because a lot of people were upset about that.
They got rid of the lips.
Yeah, they got rid of them.
She teaches Ahsoka teaches.
Like, oh well, we tried.
Ahsoka teaches Padme to pilot. They're attacked by a droid ship. Ahsoka takes a hit to save Padme, and then Padme is the hero, accompanied by R2-D2.
Of course.
Yes. Mm. And she saves the day. Well, very good episode, I thought. That was cool, right?
Yeah. No, I liked it. And the voice acting, of course, I zero in on that. And the woman, Kat Tabor, who is the voice over actress for Padme, is dead on.
No. Definitely. Has she done that before?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, she was pretty good.
I believe she was in the Clone Wars, too.
Is that the Clone Wars?
I want to say it was.
Oh.
Not 100% sure, but pretty
what
sure.
What do you think Harrison Ford would... he wouldn't care.
He don't care.
He wouldn't. I'm not even going to bring that up.
Oh, you're talking about the Harrison Ford episode?
Yeah.
Tracker Trouble. Yes. For those of you that don't know.
Tracker Trouble.
Yeah. Basically, the Falcon... This is actually a mini story when they pick up Rey and Finn... Han and Chewie,
yeah.
And they're on their way to Maz Kanata's castle. They actually, they have to disarm this. Was it a bomb that was on
there? Tracking device slash bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was both.
Yeah.
And I it's just a nice little thing that, like, oh well, you know, because the funny thing is, like, you know, people forget, you know, in Empire, it took them what, 3 or 4 weeks to get from Tatooine to Cloud City.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the
how. There's a lot of story in between those times.
Yeah, you can tell a story or two, and that totally fits in with the canon. So I liked it. I thought the guy that did Harrison Ford's voice was pretty good.
Who was that? Do you know?
I have no clue.
That was good. So this takes place during The Force Awakens. Has all of our characters from The Force Awakens, and they're flying to meet Maz Kanata. How does she know Wookiee? I know that's a question that's been passed around. Do you guys know the answer to that? How does Rey know how to speak Wookiee?
I'm sure...
I thought it was just J.J. Abrams.
Was that J.J.? I thought it was just J.J. Like, thing.
In the story sense, I guess that she, you know, living on Jakku, she probably deals with a lot of different kinds of beings and had to learn those languages.
I don't know.
That's what I'm
trading. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, I'm sure... Hopefully they maybe touch on why she knows that. Because I don't think a lot of people know Wookiee, am I right?
I don't know.
It seems like Han's always translating.
Damn right I am.
That was a question I had. You get to see BB-8 in this episode. That's pretty good. I liked it. New recruit, Sabine Wren, recruits a new rebel, Ketsu Anyo? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Ah, pretty cool. I like this one. I like Sabine Wren. I'm a Rebels fan. Old Ben, you're a Rebels fan.
Of course.
Sabine and Ketsu are stealing food for the Rebellion. Hera, Ben's old flame, shows up, and also my main man, Chopper. Sabine, at the end of the episode, converts Ketsu to the Rebel Alliance and gets to paint a little symbol of the Skybird, Flightbird, whatever you call it.
Again, it's great because you're introducing another character. Maybe we'll see this character in Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect sort of segue to that. And just like these other you know episodes, it's a great way to introduce other stories that are going. Because again, obviously, besides the movies and what you know what most people see, there's other stories going on with these characters. So it's just great to shine a light on you know these different stories. So
I love how it's all female based and that it takes time. Places and different times of the Star Wars lore.
And I like that they don't drag them out either. These are short, quick. 3 to 4 minute animations, and you know, it tells you the quick story. It doesn't go too much into things, and it just gives you enough to be like, oh wow, okay, cool. That happened. That's awesome.
Beginning, middle, end within 3 minutes.
They're just little bursts.
Storytelling 101.
I'm into it.
I also enjoyed the fourth one.
Teach you, I will.
My favorite.
I think this is my favorite too. Yeah.
Yeah. How cool.
Very cool.
And
Yoda gets a little frisky.
Oh, yeah. Ahsoka trains with Anakin and Yoda. Very cool. Right off the bat.
I liken this as, you guys have seen Kill Bill, right?
Yeah.
I liken this as like the light side version of when Beatrix Kiddo met Padme and he was testing her. This was sort of like the Yoda was just, you know, just seeing where she was at. And the really cool thing I took away from this was the fact that Yoda started preaching individuality, which is something that's just was not, especially him being the head of the Jedi Council. That's so just, you know.
Wow, that's a good point.
And he says in there, what makes you unique makes you strong. This you must use. Yourself, you must always be.
Yes.
And that was something. So I'm thinking this probably happened right after he met, he went through the whole thing with the Force priestesses and took the, you know, all those tests and everything.
Yeah.
The trials. So
definitely.
Toward the end of the Clone Wars.
But it's also a little weird too to me because, well, if this was going on, how come Yoda didn't say, you know, change things, we must, you know. But I guess they were so moving forward with the war and indoctrinated that even if Yoda tried, as powerful as he was, to sway the council and for the Jedi to change things, that it was just too late. Like, they were headed on this collision course, and there's no turning back. So
I take it as Yoda saw a small window to prevail and understood the toll it took to get there, and knew that Order 66 was coming, and knew that there was only a certain amount of things he could do to benefit from this in the long run to prevail. He saw a small window to prevail in the future. There was no way to stop it. It was in motion, you know?
Everything was going as planned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in this episode, I like that, like, how wise he is. Like, it's almost like maybe he knew that Ahsoka would play a big part in the Rebel Alliance after the Empire had taken
power. The post-Jedi.
Do you think he knew that?
Just like we were saying before, that he might have had a premonition as far as, you know, him, you know, him and Obi-Wan passing on and giving that information to Luke. Yeah.
He could have.
Yeah.
And I like how he says, two lightsabers you have, two you shall use. And she takes up her classic Ahsoka fighting stance. And at the very end, you see her defensive move that she used in Rebels against Darth Vader.
Yes. Yeah, against Darth Vader.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
And
Star Wars, it's all about the cycle. Yeah, you know what I mean? Things that history repeating itself. So, yeah.
Now, you see,
compare that, Anakin's watching all this go on.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of.
She uses it against him in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it was taught to her by Yoda.
I really dug,
puts it in perspective.
It really does, right?
And I like that we get to see the Jedi Dojo once again, and we saw that in Rebels with
enough of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw that in a few earlier Forces of Destiny episodes too, right? Wasn't there another episode where she actually trained there? With the tree and Anakin and Yoda?
I think that was outside, but possibly.
Big lips, Anakin.
Yeah, big lips. Great run, Forces of Destiny.
And there's going to be more episodes, I believe, coming out at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're doing a great job, in my opinion. It's great.
It's a nice appetizer that we're getting right now. You know, just keeping our appetite, you know, in check as far as waiting for The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And everything else that's going to be coming out. And Han Solo, it's weird, too, because people keep on forgetting, not to bring it up again, but Han Solo is coming out next year.
Next May.
You know what? Do you think that's actually still happening in May? Because
yeah,
I heard they just wrapped it.
I would say they wouldn't. If they were going to change the date, they probably would have by now.
Yeah.
It's coming out in May.
There's no, like, much like the Jedi Order falling to Order 66, there's no turning back.
No.
That's pretty exciting then. It's going to just creep up.
Oh, yeah.
And we're supposed to see Corellia apparently also too.
Is that right?
I believe Ron Howard posted something on Twitter or something was mentioned. No. Yeah.
I'm hoping we get some background with Han's dealings with, you know, like Greedo. That would be cool.
Oh, I'm sure Greedo will be there.
Yes.
It's my favorite.
You're definitely gonna see a gangster element.
That is your favorite, isn't it, Darth Dylan?
Yeah.
I think we're going to be in a high from The Last Jedi, and before we know it, we're going to get smacked dead fucking hit in the face with some Han Solo solo film, and we're going to be like, alright, this is fucking cool too.
Very distressing as far as way things have gone down in the public with the Han Solo movie, with a lot of these movies as far as, you know, changing directors and everything, but again, you know, with Ron Howard taking over and them, you know, trusting him and him having a working relationship with the studio with other, you know, projects. I think that he's definitely going to be able to write the ship. Will it be this super duper amazing, like, oh my god, I can't believe it's Han Solo? I don't know. Is it going to be it could be. We don't know.
It could be one of those Rogue One things where you're like, oh, there's this spin-off movie coming, and all of a sudden it's like, that was a damn good movie. I have a feeling it might be.
I think Lucasfilm, though, is doing a smart thing, because obviously The Last Jedi is, that's what they're looking towards. That's what's going to be, you know, their focal point for the next couple months. And, you know, it's going to be building up perfectly. And then once The Last Jedi starts dying down, say, in March or so, because The Force Awakens kept on going till like March or so.
Was that right?
Even a little bit longer.
All right. They're going to blast us in the face.
But once that starts to decrease a little bit, then you're going to get the ramp up for Han Solo, maybe sometime in March, maybe February. Maybe
Han Solo's going to blast his warm cream all over us. Can you imagine? The hype dies down from The Last Jedi. I know it.
Could you imagine if we get a Han Solo trailer, like, right after The Last Jedi? Like, right, like, maybe a couple weeks after The Last Jedi?
Maybe even at the premiere of Last Jedi.
That's brilliant, Disney. Lucasfilm. That would be. If you're going to put the Han Solo trailer with The Last Jedi in theaters, you're going to make a lot of bucks.
I'm gonna make a mess.
I think we're gonna be sitting in the theater and it's gonna just play.
Oh my gosh. Not only will that get me so excited for the movie, I mean, that's just gonna be the cherry on the top of the whatever, you know?
Yeah. A Bantha milk. That's gonna be shake.
Frozen Bantha.
That's gonna be some blue milk I never had before. That's
gonna
be
Bantha
good.
Ice cream, yeah.
I'm into it.
Then we'll be eating up Han Solo's cream.
I think we're talking a little bit too much about cream.
There's
tonight,
a lot
folks.
Of cream going around Han Solo's face.
He's gonna cut it out.
I guess you guys are excited for the movie. All right.
All right. So, what's next in the roster, old Ben?
Hasbro.
The roster.
Black Series toy release at New York Comic Con 2017. Now, yeah. I was at New York Comic Con.
Yes,
I did. I did see some of these, and
you saw them face to face.
Yes. I saw DJ, I saw Lando, I saw Dengar, and I saw Rey.
What?
Awesome stuff.
They look great, don't they?
I think the attention to detail, amazing. Again,
well, keep in mind, Hasbro Black Series has this scanning technology to get the actor's face accurate, like face scanning technology.
The 3D, yeah.
That's insane right off the bat. But yeah, I'm sorry, continue.
No, I don't have a whole lot, because again, you guys are more of the figure guys. That's not completely my wheelhouse, but honestly, like, the craftsmanship was pretty incredible. Like, just looking, I'm like, they finally got it right. Because again, Rob and I, we remember getting like the little Star Wars figures when we were younger. It was like, sometimes like nothing. It's like, okay, there's yellow hair. And
that don't look like Leia.
That don't look like Luke. Yeah,
don't look like Leia.
Yeah, but
you can't even get Darth Vader right.
But the attention to detail, like, just the craftsmanship with this is just it's amazing.
This is more Darth Dillon's.
Yes.
Yeah, but I would say what I did see
that
though,
seems to be the motto of this. If I had money,
we got Rey's outfit from The Last Jedi plus her outfit from what we already know, The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we got a couple more characters, but DJ is what I was cool.
Right.
Like Benicio Del Toro's character, he dropped, and what we know just due to John Boyega's slip up at whatever, is that we're privy to the fact that he is a slicer, or like a computer hacker type dude, but we haven't seen many pictures of him at all.
No.
And from the look of this character, it makes me curious. I don't know. What do you think, Darth Dillon?
He looks really, you know, like, he looks like an in-depth character. Like, they put a lot of detail into him.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I feel like I've seen him before, you know? It's like that sort of
almost,
thing.
Almost, right?
Yeah. Like, I wasn't fazed when I saw his design. So I think he's going to fit really well into the movie.
What is
whatever
he
his character
exactly?
Is.
What is
his... I don't know. He kind of seems... He seems pretty gritty and like he knows he's been around. You know, like he's seasoned in whatever he does.
Don't think he's Ezra, though. I'm just going to
say. It's not Ezra.
No.
Yeah. Even though he has a scar that's similar.
I don't think he's a Force user in general.
No. I think he is some sort of gray area, you know, he's got information and he's got ways of getting information and stealing it. Sort of, you know, like you had said, Dylan, like some sort of hacker, some sort of keeper of store of information somehow.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. I said that, but yeah.
Yeah, well,
but yeah, no.
I stand corrected.
But he does. Like, yeah. He kind of looks like the part that we were led to believe he's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is like a slicer.
Yeah, and I don't think these, because sometimes, like, you know, it's been said a lot that, you know, oh, this figure totally just spoiled this because, you know, they had this kind of, you know, holster, or they were wearing this kind of helmet. But with these, I mean, I think these were more or less just like, these are the characters and they look awesome, and buy them, please.
They do look
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, but they yeah. really well, didn't
you,
reveal
you
too
wanna
much.
You want to know, there's a Supreme Leader Snoke figure that GameStop is putting out for the Black Series.
Yeah.
Right.
And somebody actually got hold of one. I was on yakface.com. It's the website I use to see all this stuff.
Oh, here we go.
It's a very good website.
I know Dark Dylan would have some good stuff for us.
How much are they paying you, Dylan? Come on.
Right. What'd they drop?
No, but somebody, the link to it, it said, warning, picture may be graphic. And I clicked on it, and somebody actually revealed what it looks like under Snoke's robe.
Oh, I saw that.
And he looks very frail. He looks like my grandpa.
He almost looks like he's wearing an old lady's bra.
They dressed him up. Come on.
What is that? Why did they put titties on him?
He's wearing like a pantsuit.
And you know the internet, they go crazy. They're like, oh, Snoke's a female. They go rampant over that shit. No female I've ever met sounds like Snoke does in The Force Awakens when he's yelling at Hux. No fucking way that's a female.
He's not a human, so...
Let's say it's a sex change. Maybe if Snoke had a sex change, which I'm sure exists in the Star Wars universe...
That's hope.
That's a new episode. That's
just hope. Then I'd say maybe his titties are still there, but no, come on, guys. Just wrapped up under there. Don't get crazy.
I still want that figure because it looks cool.
It does look cool, if you keep the robe on it.
Yeah.
Dylan.
Yeah, I'll keep it in the box.
So go looking at titties
keep
now.
Keep it in the box.
So, wait... Is there more to this story?
No, that's it. He just looks
Snoke is
cool.
Not a female, right?
Nah.
There's no possibility that I know of that, right?
We could do a whole other podcast on that. Like
people get
gender
crazy.
Norms and stereotypes.
No, please. You know
it's Star Wars. People stop. Just stop. Not you guys, but just stop.
No, they totally get crazy. So that was the thing that it lasted about a day and a half, 2 days tops, and I was like, all right, guys, get past it.
Yeah, people freak out.
I don't know why they designed it that way, though.
I don't know. Maybe it's just... Maybe nobody was supposed to take off the robe.
I think they said, let's fuck with people and make everyone think that Snoke's a female.
Do you mind if I take off my robe?
Oh, man. So, that's good. What else do we got to talk about?
That's about it.
Star Wars Rebels
comes
out. Do
you have a story?
Oh, Rebels is coming out. No, what was the story, Dark Dylan?
Ben had a story.
Oh, no, that was the story. That was the story before. That was about the...
Oh, Ben's story is done. We were talking about the ticket sales.
The ticket sales. Asking...
Gotcha. That was the story. Sorry, okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to tell like a story about how like you went to see Phantom Menace and you cried for a month.
I went to go see A New Hope. It made me feel... Phantom Menace made me feel a certain specific way I've never felt before. I was confused.
Yeah, what did you guys feel? I'm curious now.
I felt confused.
Confused. I questioned my life at that point. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
A little bit.
No. Honestly, yeah, I questioned. But it was not exactly what I expected.
I didn't know what to feel. It's the only time I've actually been confused in my life.
The only time. Yeah.
I was like, well, I waited a long time for this. Now, do I like it or is things suck?
There were a lot of people that, you know, praised it and were like, no, man, it's great. And then in retrospect, like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. It was a very confusing time in my life. There were things I loved, obviously. Qui-Gon, Darth Maul. There were things that I hate. Jar Jar. Little Anakin.
The whole story.
Yeah. And the thing is, when I was a little kid, I loved all that stuff because I was very young at the time.
Yeah.
So it's funny. He definitely did create the film to cater to, I don't know, someone.
12-year-old?
Maybe himself.
Yeah.
Well, because originally it was supposed to, you know, these movies were made for kids. That's why I think that he was.
Yeah. I'm going to say something.
Trade Federation.
All right. George Lucas says that, yes, all right, I created Star Wars for 12-year-olds. And that's something he said. And we're all supposed to accept that. But I'm going to say something. I'm going to say it's not really just for 12-year-olds, man.
Well, not anymore.
There are shit that happened in the original films that is too deep for some 12-year-olds. And there's some vulgar stuff that happens in the animated Rebels and Clone Wars where I first started watching it. I would look back and say, damn, this is for kids? Where I would say, no, it's not. I mean, he could say that, but I'm going to have to disagree with him even though it's his creation.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
I think that the story is definitely, it's a fairy tale. And that in that respect, it, you know, it's for kids. But I think that as time has gone on, they've, you know, at least with the, it seems like so far with the new films, they've decided we've got to cater to both.
They're catering to the ones that grew up with it now.
I think the original trilogy was kind of like a, you know, sort of a little bit of both, but not really. And then, you know, the prequels were definitely about kids, you know, for the kids. But I think right now we're kind of at that point where they're like, all right, now I think a big reason why is Disney owns it and they realize, well, if we just cater to kids, we're not going to get the adults. And if we just cater to adults, we're not going to get kids.
They're
so
brilliant. They know what market to aim. You know? They aim towards every market.
Yeah. And there's going to be some fan service, you know, for those of us that are diehards or that want to see certain things, they're gonna throw little nuggets in there for us. But at the same time,
you know,
yeah.
Aren't we all kids at heart?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Don't we all love Jar Jar? Say yes.
No. I'm gonna say no. Ben's a little no. He shook his head. He didn't say it, but
I should have killed him when I had the chance.
You know what would have been cool?
I like thinking of Jar Jar juggling on that planet, I feel being
bad.
A jester.
You know what? I guess I do like Jar Jar because I do feel bad for him being a juggler on Naboo. Is it Naboo or Coruscant?
Coruscant.
I think it's Coruscant.
He's on Coruscant and everyone laughs at him and only the kids like him.
Lisa
at this point.
Idiot.
Being told in the aftermath.
That's a better
novels.
Story for him, in my opinion.
No, I like the story. I think the aftermath, what's his name? Chuck?
Wendig.
I think it's a great little story that he threw in with the aftermath. I like that they tied in where Jar Jar went because we never saw his death.
Still would have liked Darth Jar Jar.
I would have liked Dark Jar Jar. I'm with you, old Ben.
Yeah, that would never happen.
We got another movie coming out.
Imagine if he was, though. There were a lot of theories in that YouTube video that whoever dropped that really, that could have made sense. It would have been brilliant writing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That was episode 7, Twi'lek Talk, guys. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, same before. Rebels starts...
October...
16th. Not this Monday, but the Monday after.
Yeah. Yes, we are heading toward Rebels' final season.
Woohoo! Awesome.
Yeah, baby.
That's exciting. We're going to see some Thrawn. There's talk of Krennic in the trailer. Is there Vader?
No Emperor, though. They've already said that, you know...
no Emperor.
That McDermott or the other gentleman that voices him. He's not going to be...
They're not in it.
No.
Might see what happens with Ahsoka. Obviously the outcome of the characters we've grown to love over the last couple seasons of Rebels, Kanan, Ezra, Zeb, Chopper, my main man. It's going to be very exciting. We got the Last Jedi trailer or movie coming out in 2 months, which we'll probably meet up before that, obviously.
Yeah.
We're going to get tickets. We're going to do a review. Are we decided? We're going to do a review on The Last Jedi?
Yes. And I'm thinking, did we want to do a look back on the trailer after it comes out tomorrow?
We could do that.
Yeah.
Do a short little mid-week. Video or something.
Yeah.
Because it's going to spoil everything. I don't know.
Yeah, Rian Johnson said it's going to spoil everything.
I got faith in Rian. I got faith in him. Next episode, maybe we could talk a little bit about JJ.
Taking over for episode 9. That's big news.
Forgot about that.
Big news. That's huge, and we'll talk about whether or not we agree or how we feel. I feel safe, but
my attitude's changed a little bit. I don't want to get too much into it, but
safe is a very good word.
Safe is the best word for it.
That's the best word because we know the You know, we know what happened with Force Awakens, and it was a safe film, and it's a safe move from Disney.
I hope he learns from his mistakes.
So we say,
I think he will.
So we're saying Porgs are going to overthrow the First Order, and
more Porgs, more Porgs.
How hilarious would that be?
And they could by that point, I don't really care.
And they could have a spinoff, a comedy called Porgies. No, I'm kidding.
We'll get a giant reveal in The Last Jedi about who Rey's father is, and then we'll get the Porgs save the day from the First Order in Episode 9.
Yeah.
It's like reliving your childhood all over again. Thanks for tuning in. That was our Force Awakens Episode 7. I would like to give a shout out to our webmaster, Ken Frederick. Check out all of his wonderful work over at kenfrederick.com, and also check us out at TwiLikeTalk.com for our latest Star Wars content. Also YouTube, Facebook, and tweet us at TwiLikeTalkPo2, P-O-2 on Twitter. Yeah, that's P-O-2 as in podcast, not Poe Dameron. Email us any ideas you have for the show at TwiLikeTalkPodcast@gmail.com.
And we're working on the audio, so.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
Thanks, guys. Old Ben, Darth Dylan.
Thank you.
God bless.
That's fucking awesome. And may the force be with you.
Drink the blue milk. Always.
Bore gullet.